have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Lost, he heard your cry, and he said, Dr. Jerry Green. Welcome to Open Mic with Bishop Ernest E. Richard and Company. We have an awesome show lined up for you tonight as the Bishop tackles kingdom issues and current events. But first, let's receive First Lady Sharon Richard with her faithful financial moments. Good evening, First Lady.
Good evening, Jerry. This is Sharon Richard with your faithful financing moment. Budgeting is an important aspect of managing your finances, yet most people fail to budget. We have all heard the saying that a failure to plan is a plan to fail. In Luke chapter 14, verses 28 through 30, Jesus clearly indicates that if we do not plan ahead, we are foolish. Your budget is a critical tool in helping you to stop the madness of overspending and get on track to achieve your financial goals. Some of us are overwhelmed at the prospect of budgeting, but you should not be. The process will require some work on your part, but with diligence, the rewards will be recognized. The first step in developing a budget is simply to make a list of your short-term and long-term goals to begin a new business, purchase a home, send your child to college, or even save for retirement. I have a good friend who managed to save enough money to retire at the age of 40. She did not have a substantial salary prior to retirement, but she always maintained a budget that she was committed to staying faithful to. It was not uncommon to hear her say that she wasn't going to purchase something because it wasn't in her budget. Number two, make a list of all of your monthly income resources. Once you have that, then you need to monitor your spending over a 2 to 3 month period to determine how you are spending your money today. Then you want to maintain a detailed record of your spending activity so that you have a good understanding of your necessary expenses as well as your unplanned and/or discretionary expenses. This is, you know, really important because so too often we take our debit card and we lose track of how much we spend. So keeping a detailed record of your spending activity is critical to developing a budget and making sure you plan and spend only in accordance with that budget. Finally, you want to pray to the Lord asking for his guidance and developing a budget which allows you to accomplish your goals and better positions you for the plan that he has for you. Specifically, pray for guidance on handling existing debt and assessment of true spending needs versus spending that goes beyond what is truly necessary. Remember, God has a plan for each of us. When our actions are out of alignment with his will, our ability to achieve our destiny is delayed. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 3 in the Amplified Bible tells us, "Roll your works upon the Lord, commit and trust them wholly to him. He will cause your thoughts to become agreeable to his will, and so shall your plans be established and succeed." Allow the Lord to help you develop a budget. It is an important step in achieving the plans that God has for you. This is Sharon Richard with your faithful financing moment. Up next, Nina Taylor with your gospel news, followed by Open Mic with the Bishop with your host, Bishop Ernest E. Richard, Jr.
How you doing, everybody? I'm Nina Taylor. Here's this week's gospel news. Demetrius West and Jesus Promoters, they're an Indianapolis, Indiana-based gospel choir with a lively R&B-oriented feel, which can be heard on their 2018 debut album, Choirology. Prior to performing, singer, minister, and choir director Demetrius West led the Reflections of God Chorale, with whom he released the 2009 live album, It Happened in Worship, as well as the group Authority, whose I Am a Worshipper album came out in 2011. West assembled Jesus Promoters to sing on the 2015 Jesus Promoter album, and they quickly became a regional favorite, sharing stages with Ernest Pugh, Kirk Franklin, Chris Tomlin, and many others. Signing with Black Smoke Records, Demetrius West and Jesus promoters returned in 2018 with the hit single Open the Floodgates and their second album, Choirology. Gospel singer and choir director Kevin Lemons made a name for himself as a musical force to be reckoned with. Considered to be one of the most dynamic choirs known as Higher Calling, Lemons drew inspiration from gospel performers including Milton Brunson, Thomas Whitfield, James Cleveland, Reverend James Moore, and Orlando Draper. Born and raised in Atlanta, Georgia, the son of the late Wilbert and Ruth Lemons, his grandmother, Mrs. Annie Ruth Lemons, was the founder of the legendary Atlanta Masonic Choir, which was organized in 1942 and still exists today. Kevin, a noted director, choral, and instrumental arranger, gifted vocalist, and skilled musician, began his music ministry in 1996, gathering a few friends and acquaintances in a small church where he organized his now prominent ministry, Higher Calling. This ministry, known as Kevin Lemons and Higher Calling, set out on a fast track to success by working diligently under Kevin's leadership. They began traveling extensively, sharing their message of love and unity throughout the United States. Kevin Lemons and Higher Calling released their first debut CD entitled Destined for Greatness independently to great acclaim, followed by their sophomore project, The Declaration, which peaked at number 10. Over the past 25 years, Kevin's creative approach to choir music afforded him several opportunities to conduct clinics and workshops at various colleges, universities, and churches, both within the U.S. and internationally, which led to countless collaborations, national commercials. They shared the stage and performances with the likes of Bishop Hezekiah Walker, B.B. Winans, Donald Lawrence, Metro Boomin, the Stellar Awards, Tamela Mann, Erica Campbell, Kirk Franklin, and many, many more. Kevin's most notable achievement to date has been playing the singing voice of Carlton Pearson in the critically acclaimed Netflix film Come Sunday. Today, the group Higher Calling has grown to more than 70 voices, a powerhouse gospel choir under Kevin's direction. Additionally, the ministry has been nationally televised on BET's Bobby Jones Gospel, Gospel Music Channel, The Kitchen Sink, and the Gospel Superfest. The choir also ministered at the Dorsey Convention, GMWA, the Full Gospel Baptist Church Conference, Rhythm of Gospel Awards, and the Kojic Convocation. Atlanta's gospel artist Kevin Lemons passed away at the age of 44. His family confirmed on Saturday, January 7th, that it was a sudden loss. Football star Damar Hamlin shared his thanks on Saturday, January 7th to everyone who has been praying for him during the game in Cincinnati. He was quoted as saying, "When you put real love out into the world, it comes back to you. The love was overwhelming, but I'm thankful for every single person who prayed for me and reached out." Hamlin wrote that in an Instagram post. Hamlin suffered cardiac arrest as his heart stopped after making what appeared to be a routine tackle on Cincinnati Bengals receiver T. Higgins as millions watched during the first quarter of Monday Night Football. Here's this week's Top 10 Gospel Songs. Number 10, Joe Kia, back in the top 10 with Let Him In. Number 9, Finished by Tamela Mann. Number 8, Kingdom by Maverick City Music and Kirk Franklin. 7, Lord I Hear You, Listen to More. 6, You've Been Good to Me, Zacardi Cortez. 5, New by Ty Tribbett. 4, Call on the Name, Marcus Jordan. 3, Call, Jordan Armstrong featuring Erica Campbell. Number 2, Thankful, J.J. Harrison. And number 1, once again, from Jonathan McReynolds, Your World. Well, that's your top 10 songs and your gospel news. I'm Nina Taylor. Let's get back to more great gospel music on this great station. Hello, I'm Nina Taylor. Welcome to Open Mic with Bishop Ernest E. Richard and Company. This show tackles kingdom issues and current events from a biblical perspective. Now, let's join Bishop and Company for today's discussion. Good evening, Bishop.
Good evening to you, Nina Taylor, and thank you so very much. And welcome to you, and also to you. I'll take the first thing that's extremely. This is Open Mic with the Bishop and Company. We come to you every Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we try to bring you the relevant subjects of the day. And we've got a great topic that we're going to continue on this particular day. But before I do, let me check and see who is with us today. For those of you that like to join us live by way of telephone, dial in 646-564-9842. That number again, 646-564-9842. Those of you that are listening to us on a delayed podcast, please reach out to me at pwrtostand.com. That's pwrtostand.com. And go straight to my page. Leave me a message. I would love to hear from you. Let me know what you think about the show. Let's find out where our panelists are today. Always calling this particular young lady. She's up and coming, and God is just doing an amazing job with her. She's been with me since the start of the year, or actually since last month to be exact. You could say last year technically. I want to say hello and welcome to Pastor Anna Henderson. How are you, my dear sister?
Yes, good evening to all. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I'm so excited about the discussion tonight. We look forward to the discussion in Jesus' name.
Amen, amen, amen. Now, I know there are others who said they'd be able to join us, so let us find out. Let me do it this way, because if I try to start calling names and there's no answer, I know some of them said they had things to do. May I find out who else is with us that would like to be part of our panel today? If so, state your name, where you're from. Hallelujah. And while we're waiting, for those of you that desire to join us live, I want to say hello to Bishop Richardson, Bernard, J. Bernard Richardson, and to Bishop Corey Best. What's going on, Drew? That's something else popping up. Can you get him? Where are you, Bishop? Girl, take that for me. Anyway, I want to say hello to everyone of you. Number apologize for that. But nonetheless, is there anybody else that is part of us that would like to be part of this panel for tonight? Going once, going twice. All right, let's move forward. All right, Pastor Henderson, if you will, please pray us in. I'm going to grab our main scripture. There are other scriptures that we are going to talk about. We've been talking about the power of the seed. And we started talking about last week, and we're going to go back over everything in the kingdom of God. You'll find out everything in life in general has begun at some place, at some point, with a seed. And we're going to tackle that. But for now, let me get you to pray in, and then we'll go ahead and get to the scriptures. And we'll move from there, okay?
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you for this gathering tonight. We thank you, oh God, for the podcast. We thank you for those that are listening and those that have tuned in. And we thank you for your word today, Lord, the power of a seed. And we give you praise and give you glory, Father God, for all that you have done, all that you're doing and shall do. And, Lord, we thank you right now for your word,
yes.
Hallelujah, that is a powerful
yes.
seed, Father God, that brings forth, oh God. And we thank you, Lord, that we want the power of your seed to bring forth in our life, oh God, the fruitfulness that will cause your people to go forth in this new year. And we give your name the praise, the glory and the honor for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
And amen. Thank you so very much. And as we forestated, we're going to move forward. And by the way, Dr. Kimmy Robinson, how are you? I don't want to forget you, because without you, we really have no show. I do want to thank you. And I do need you to stay close to the board, because we have to find out. I'm expecting other guests at 7:04. I'm not sure what's going on with the music. Apparently, they're not aware of the fact that they're playing music. They must have somebody else on the line. Nonetheless, how are you doing today, dear heart? Dr. Kim? Okay.
I am doing good. How about yourself?
All right. I'm going to ask that you stay close to the board, please, and keep your mic open. I want to kill up as much dead air as we can possibly kill up. I want to kill dead air, period. So whatever you need to do, dear heart, I just need you to be close by. Is this better? Because I got to say this, folks. Last year, I got ornery and ugly when it got ugly on us, and it's not good. That is not a good representation of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I promised myself I would be better in handling situations and circumstances. I'm only explaining that because some people tend to think that because you're the boss, you have a right to yell at people. You don't have a right to yell at anybody at any time under any circumstance, regardless of what's going on. Let's go to the scriptures. Here it is, Proverbs 18:21. There are two I'm going to read. This is the first one. It says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they who indulge in it shall eat the fruit of it, for death or for life. Now, that's coming from the Amplified Classic Version. I want to go to Ecclesiastes as well, the fifth chapter, and I want to look at, verses 1 through 6. Here's what it says. Keep your foot, give your mind to what you are doing. When you go as Jacob to sacred Bethel, to the house of God, to draw near to hear and obey is better than to give the sacrifice of fools, carelessly, irreverently, too ignorant to know that they are doing evil. My goodness, let me read that again. Keep your foot, give your mind to what you are doing. When you go as Jacob to sacred Bethel, to the house of God, for to draw near to hear and obey is better than to give the sacrifice of fools, carelessly, irreverently, too ignorant to know what they are evil. Be not rash with your mouth. Let not your heart be hasty to utter a word before God, for God is in heaven and you are on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. For a dream comes with much business and painful effort, and a fool's voice with many words. When you vow a vow, make a pledge to God, do not put off paying it, for God has no pleasure in fools. Those who witlessly mock him, pay what you vow. It is better that you should not vow than you should vow and not pay. Somebody better remember verse 5. Verse 6 finally says, do not allow your mouth to cause your body to sin. And do not say before the messenger, the priest that is, that it is an error or mistake. Why should God be made angry at your voice and destroy the works of your hand? As I said, we are talking about the power of the seed. Now, I want to talk to believers for just a few minutes. And so, to those of you who may not have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, please don't go anywhere, because there's some biblical principles that you need to be made aware of. Understand that when you first receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, in the scriptures we find many amazing promises that actually become available to each and every one of us. All we need to do is have knowledge of what actually is available and the faith to claim whatever God said we can have for ourselves. Understand this, every Christian has the same opportunity to flourish and be blessed because of these wonderful promises, but not all of them will. I'm amazed at how many Christians refuse to simply believe the word of God and refuse to walk in the faith of God to activate the blessings that come from God. They claim they don't have anything to work with and they're not happy where they are in life, yet they refuse to make any change. They refuse to make any adjustments. They won't do what the word says. The Lord said through the Apostle James in James, the 4th chapter and the 2nd verse, you have not because you ask not. Now, if we could just wrap our minds around the fact that everything in this life, everything in earth, is a result of a spiritual seed that has been released into the atmosphere, and it doesn't matter if it was negative or positive. That makes no difference. I discovered something. Listen to this. You'll like this. Scientists maintain that once a sound wave is set in motion, it continues on a never-ending journey. And that if we had any kind of sophisticated equipment or instruments that were able to track sound, we could be able to capture and reproduce that same sound at any time in any place. Now, if that's true, then every word spoken by any individual who has ever lived on the face of the earth would have the capability of retrieving the word that they send out. So whether you've spoken by faith or whether you've spoken in fear, whether you've spoken positive or whether you've spoken negative, your words are somewhere in the atmosphere waiting to manifest whatever you have applied faith to. Somebody sitting there saying, well, how do you apply faith to the negativity? Faith is believing in the things that your eyes cannot see. I know we have done Hebrews 11 one time and time again, saying now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But you have to understand there is a positive in faith. There is also a negative in faith. Understand that everything in the kingdom of God, everything spiritual, is seed. You can't receive anything from God and you can't cause anything to happen. Remember, God said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness and let him have dominion over the earth. Understand this. When he said in our image, he's not talking about your physical image. He ain't talking about this pretty brown skin you see on your Facebook page or this beautiful voice you might hear. He's talking about that spirit man. He's talking about that eternal being who has the ability to do exactly as God did. And since we find out in Genesis that God on 9 different occasions spoke things into existence, God gave us that very same ability to speak things out of the spiritual realm into the natural realm. The problem here with us is we've not grasped hold of the idea that we have the power and the ability to manifest whatever it is that we have need of, because God has already supplied our need. Anything and everything we're ever going to need in the face of this earth has already been made available to us. We just have to learn how to link it to the word of God and speak as the oracles of God and then bless God and wait for God to bring forth the manifestation. And while we are waiting, we are making preparation for the very thing we have prayed for. Everything in the kingdom of God is seed-based. We cannot receive anything from God without sowing a seed. Now, a seed may be in the form of words spoken by you into the spiritual realm. It can also be in the form of money or other things on the face of this earth that you are sowing or bringing forth spiritual truth into manifestation. It could be physical things, and prosperity comes to you as you put these words into action. This is how the believer in Christ is empowered to prosper with the blessing. And I'm not just talking money here, because too many people get wrapped tied. I don't want you to get wrapped tied and tangled in the money. I want you to get wrapped tied and tangled in biblical principle. Pastor Henderson, do you have anything you want to add to that?
No, I'm in a total agreement with you saying that the kingdom of God operates on the principles of seed sowing. And so that's why it's so important we sow good seed, because those seeds will bring forth a harvest. And the word of God gives us the ability to bring forth fruitfulness. And as you were saying about the faith, is that our faith in that seed, it would cause that seed to bring forth and to develop. And so it's so important that we have faith in the seed, which is God's word, that it may do what the seed will do, and that is to bring forth and multiply. And God wants to multiply our lives, but it's going to take us as believers to sow those seeds in faith, which is his word of God, in our heart, which is the ground in which that seed grows. And so that's why I think it's so important that we keep our hearts fertilized. The Bible tells us in another place to guard our hearts. And so out of it flows the issues of life. So our heart has to stay guarded, just like a ground, a natural ground, has to stay guarded from the pebbles and the different bugs and insects and the different things that come to eat away the seed. And so we, too, have to protect our heart, plant it, and stay rooted that it may bring forth.
Amen, amen, amen. Anybody else? And I know I'm looking for Dr. Bradley to join me, and I'm looking for Apostle Isaac to join me. Are either of you here as of yet? Okay. Neither has come at this moment, and that's quite all right, because sometimes they show up, sometimes they're not able to. They did tell me they had some things to do. We have to understand, why is it that we... Let me say this, you know, God turned around. It's important for us to come before the Lord, and how am I saying this? It's important for us to come before the Lord when we make our request known. We have to verbally plant a seed by way of prayer. I was going to allude to Mark, the 11th chapter, verses 23 and 24, and I want to throw these biblical principles out there, and here they are in a nutshell. Verse 23 in Mark 11 simply says, have faith in God, or in other words, have the God kind of faith. We have to recognize the fact that we serve a God who literally has spoken by faith the world and everything that we see in this earth realm into existence. It was the faith that God possessed that brought forth the creation, or should I say the recreation, of everything that we see here in the earth realm. Now, if Jesus takes the time to say, have the God kind of faith, apparently he's trying to hone us into a principle and a truth. The very fact that God expects you and I to walk in faith. God expects you and I to live in faith. God expects you and I to act in faith. Now, I know we're pressing the faith issue, but we're in a day and age where people are becoming faithless as opposed to faithful. We're living in a day and age where people are no longer saying, I shall see it because I believe it. But we got people now saying, because I see it, I now believe it. And that is just bass backwards. Yes, I said bass backwards concerning what God has set out. Because Jesus himself said, blessed are those who believe and yet have not seen. And when we're looking for the different things in life, whether it's our spiritual condition, our mental, our emotional, even our financial, when we're looking for those changes in those areas, it is by faith that we see these things come forth. I read Ecclesiastes 5, 1 through 3, but let me go back to it. This is the New Living Translation. Listen to this. As you enter the house of God, listen to what the writer is saying. As you enter the house of God, keep your ears open and your mouth shut. I'm going to say that one more time. As you enter the house of God, keep your ears open and your mouth shut. There's a reason for that. He says it is evil to make mindless offerings to God. Don't make rash promises. Don't be hasty in bringing matters before God. After all, God is in heaven, and you are here on earth. So let your words be few. Too much activity gives you restless dreams. Too many words make you a fool. Why is it that we're not able to spot the enemy's scare tactics to push us to doubt the living word of God? It's the enemy's job to make sure that we mess up every opportunity that God presents to us. It's the enemy's job to make sure that we stay in what I'm going to call fear mode. As long as the enemy can use fear as a need to bring, you know, the enemy uses fear of a need. How do I say this? Good Lord, Holy Spirit, give it to me. The enemy uses fear to make you feel like whatever it is you have a heart's desire for is not going to come into fruition. He tries to cripple your faith, and many of us, we will sow words before God looking for a harvest, and there's no faith in what we're saying. Every faith-filled confession that we make before God gets challenged by the devil, and if you fail to hold on to your confession of faith, you'll end up sowing the seed, meaning your words of faith to... Let me slow myself down because I'm talking too fast. The enemy comes to cripple your faith. That's what I'm trying to make you understand. And when you begin to sow deeds that do not line up with the word of God, when you begin to walk, go backwards on your word, when you begin to fail to move forward in the things that God has called you to do. I don't know why folk are trying to call me now. I do not get it. Folk know I'm on the radio, but they still want to talk to me. I'm not even sure what's going on with that. Nonetheless, let's move forward. Every faith-filled confession that you make, as I started to say before God, gets challenged by the enemy. And if you fail to hold on to your confession of faith, you end up sowing the seed, meaning the words, your words of faith, to meet your needs mindlessly before the Lord. Instead of sowing seeds of faith, many of you end up sowing your needs by uttering vain-filled seeds or words about those needs before God. That's why some of you are having countless restless dreams which are not being fulfilled. Those dreams that you're having are not coming to fruition. And they look like great dreams. God got you in different places and have you doing different things. And the truth of the matter is you do not allow yourself the full manifestation of that which God is sharing with you. And there comes a point in time when you have to make a decision in your own mind. What is it that I'm asking the Lord to do? What is it that I want God to do? You've got to recognize that there is an adversary called the devil who likes as a roaring lion. Not like a roaring lion, but as. There's a difference between the word like and the word as. When something is like something, it is a repetition of the thing that it is. A lion is fierce. When a lion goes on the hunt and decides it wants to eat, its loud roar gathers the attention. Boy, I can't even get my words out. Gathers the attention of those that are in the surrounding area, causes them to run in a frenzy, and the lion will chase down the most vulnerable victim that is in that pack, whether it's a baby or whether it's an adult. And once he tracks it down, he tends to get his teeth into the throat of that victim and suffocates it until it dies. And then that victim or that animal becomes food for that lion. We're talking about the adversary, the devil. Don't you recognize that over 2,023 years ago, Jesus busted the devil's teeth out back in Calvary's cross? Think about that. Jesus busted out the enemy's teeth. The enemy ain't got no teeth, so he's not like a roaring lion. He is as a roaring lion. He can make noise, but he can't make you. He can't bite you. He can't harm you. You know how he harms you? He influences you to go do stupid things at the right time. Okay? King Solomon says in Ecclesiastes 5, 4 through 7, when you make a vow to God, do not delay to fulfill it. He has, meaning God, has no pleasure in fools. Fulfill your vow. Too many of us promised the Lord we would do certain things. And I'm going to talk about some of us who have turned around and even said, Lord, if you get me out of this situation, I'll serve you. If you get me out of this situation, we made all these rash. You know you wasn't going to do it to begin with. So why on earth are you opening your mouth, making a promise to God that you know you never had any intention to keep? Don't you know that's dangerous? I guess they don't know, Pastor Henderson. I guess they don't realize how dangerous that is. What you got to say about that?
Yes, I think sometimes they don't realize the power of the seed, which is that word. And because that word is that message that they're sending out, when they scatter their words out there, they don't recognize that their word is going to bring forth a harvest. And that's why the scripture tells us to put a guard over our mouth, so that we just don't say anything, because our seed, that word that comes out of our mouth is a seed, whether it's good or whether it's bad. And whatever we scatter with our words is that thing that is going to come forth. And because the enemy recognizes that we are made in the image of God, and God has given us the ability to speak, and our message becomes our life, because reality is that when we speak, the Bible says that that the words we speak are life, and, you know, gives life or brings death. And so we are made in that image to bring forth life or death. So the enemy tries to get God's people to stay in a carnal realm where their seed is being scattered in a carnal place, and that the words that they are saying are causing harm more than not being fruitful for the kingdom of God versus being fruitful for the kingdom of God, in that when you stay in your emotions, you talked about fear and unbelief. Amen. If he can get the believer to stay in that realm of their emotions where they're fearing or where they're in unbelief or they're doubting, then he noted that seed becomes contaminated because the seed operates on faith. The fruitfulness of the seed depends on your faith. And when your faith is not exhibited, then that seed becomes contaminated because now you're feeding it with doubt and unbelief. You're saying things that's contrary to the word of God. You're allowing your feelings to dictate what you say and what you think. And so it begins to contaminate the seed and begins to bring forth the opposite of maybe what you're even expecting. And so as believers, it's so important that even when we are in distress or even when we're frustrated, that we watch our words, that we don't curse our seed, that we don't stop the progress of the fruitfulness of our seed. And so it's so important that we be sensitive and intentional about the words that we speak, because there is power in the word, which is the seed.
Well, let me ask you this, and I know we're dealing with Ecclesiastes. I mean, there are other scriptures we're going to deal with, but let's go back to the lead scripture right now. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Help me understand what that means, that death and life are in the power of my tongue. Does my tongue possess that kind of power? And if it does, explain this to me or explain this to those who are listening. How is death and life found in the power of my tongue? Talk to me.
Death and life is found in the power. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Go ahead.
Yeah, life and death is found in the power of the tongue because our words, the word of God is alive. Our words have power because it is a spiritual principle, and that there is power in the seed, and that in our words, that when we speak, whether we know it or not, it is still exhibiting some source of power. It is still producing. The seed doesn't stop producing, whether it's positive or negative. It's going to bring forth the harvest because there's fruitfulness in the seed, and the seed reproduces after its kind. And so when we speak that word, it reproduces the thing that we spoke it, that we spoke. And we may not really think about words like that, because usually people just talk and they really are not really paying attention to what they're saying. I think sometimes they just get caught up in a conversation and the words are just put out there. But words are alive. Words have life. And you're either giving life or you're taking life. You're either speaking fruitfulness or you're speaking unfruitfulness. And so I think when we become aware of that, as believers, we become more sensitive to our choice of words because those words also can bring strongholds. Sometimes things have been spoken that have caused strongholds to take place in the life of a believer. And even words spoken over an individual can cause strongholds. So words do have binding and loosing power, and so it's so important that we recognize that our words do matter in the natural realm, and it definitely matters in the spiritual realm. And so the enemy knows this. So because he knows it, and he knows that we are made in the image of God, and he knows the principle of words, he knows the principle of the seed, he knows the process of the seed that it produces after its kind, and so that's why he uses and influences us through words. And so that's why we have to be aware. Amen. The Bible says he would not have us to be ignorant concerning the devices of the enemy. Amen. So we have to be aware that a lot of the entrance into our life comes through words.
Amen. I agree with you. And I know our Pastor Taswell's writing on TikTok. I'm trying to read it. Let me get my glasses because I'm having a hard time seeing it for some reason. She says, I believe we have allowed our want to go forth so bad that the want blocks the will of God out. And I agree with that wholeheartedly. Sometimes our wants are just way too deep. We have to turn around. And Josiah, we are talking about the power of the seed. If you're not here to talk about the power of the seed, sir, please excuse yourself. We're not going to play games. Pastor Taswell, keep your eyes on them. They start acting up, you already know what to do. Anyway, we're going to move forward. We have to understand that when we talk, there's no way we can exchange our needs for the glory of the Lord. God is just not going to allow that to happen. And all principles of sowing and reaping, whether we verbally or physically sow, meaning our time, our effort, our energies, our time, talent, and treasure, the main thing is we have to be aware that our future is tied into the seeds that we sow. We have to ask ourselves a question today, and I've asked this question time and time again, so let me ask this question again. What exactly are we sowing when we sow seed? What exactly are we sowing? Seeds that have positive results? Are we sowing seeds that are going to be a benefit, not just to us, but that to those people with whom we have to do it? Because, see, understand this, and I talked about our gifts and our talents, and I always mention the scripture in Romans 11:29 that the gifts and talents, the gifts and callings of God are irrevocable. Some of us are not aware of the fact that God gave us what we have and the talents that we have, not to just be a blessing to ourselves, but also to be a blessing to other people. So we have to understand our words are like a seed. I mentioned to you in John, I believe it was the 12th chapter and the 24th verse. And it says, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. God bless you, Bishop Kefela. Thank you, sir. If you desire to come on and share with us, I wish you would, sir. I want to see you. I invite you. The number is 646-564-9842. Sometimes I forget that number. 646-564-9842 if you desire to come on. But anyway, finishing what I'm saying in that base principle, we do recognize that that 12th chapter of John is talking about the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the principle goes right here. Basically, when you sow your time, your talent, and your treasure, you have to understand that as you have given it or give yourself away, I'm trying to condense this down. When you give yourself away, meaning you allow the Lord to sow you into ministry and bury you, you have to decompose from what you once were to something you need to become. I said this before and I'm going to say it again. Corn does not look like corn in its original state when you first look at the seed. Nobody would ever imagine the very fact that that little tiny kernel of corn, once it's been planted, once it's had the opportunity to germinate, once it's had the opportunity to grow root, can now grow a stalk that can go as high as 8 and in some cases 10 feet high and can produce anywhere from as many as 8 to 10 ears of corn from that one seed. So what am I trying to make you understand? I'm trying to make somebody understand that God wants to plant you. God has a specific place and space just for you. And if you allow yourself to become rooted and grounded in Christ in that area, the power of that seed now has the ability to decompose. You can no longer, and I use my own self as an example, I'm no longer Ernest the man, but because I've given my heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, I am now a new creature in Christ. Old things have passed away and all things are becoming new. Yes, there's some things I still have to overcome, and yes, there are some things that I still have to, some obstacles that I have to get through and get past and get by. There are some weights and there are some sins that I still have to sow and get rid of. But the truth of the matter is, if I allow the man to become the vessel which is meet for the master's use, now the decomposing process means all my arrogance and all my ideologies, my theologies, my mindset, my mental way of thinking, all that shifts and changes. And now I'm obtaining and seeking to obtain the mind of Christ. I want to hold the thoughts, the feelings, and the purposes of his heart. And if I can hold the thoughts, feelings, and purposes of his heart, I can develop his eyes. I can develop his mind. That means to say that I can see the way God sees things. And that becomes the importance. And all that happened because of that power of that one seed. Somebody sowed the seed of salvation in me, and look at the fruit it produces. Have you stopped to look at, and I'm not saying all churches are like this, but I want to take those churches that are new church plants that just come out the clear blue sky. Have you ever paid attention to how some of these churches multiply as rapidly as they do? It's the seed that God has placed within the sower of that particular ministry that causes that. And see, sometimes we can destroy our own crop. It's not our crop. It belongs to the Lord. But sometimes we can destroy it. Sometimes we put our mouths in the wrong place at the right time. We land blast people, and we talk about people and throw them under the bus and make them feel like they're useless and like they're worthless, like they mean nothing, like there is nothing to these individuals. But, beloved, let me help you understand something. And I mentioned this last week, Pastor Henderson. I talked about Proverbs chapter 8. I think it was verse 6, which simply says, "Hear, for I shall speak of excellent things, and the opening of my mouth shall be for right things." We want to say what the Lord would say. We want to speak as the oracles of God. We want to have the tongue of the learned, that we may be able to minister grace unto those who hear the words that we speak. When we're tearing people down and ripping and shredding and beating people up with our mouths, we're assassinating people with our lips like a doggone verbal machine gun. Rat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat. We're taking them down because we say, "He ain't this and she ain't that and he ain't never going to go in." I mean, excuse me, who died and left you boss? Come on, Henderson, what do you want to add to that?
Wow, I tell you, it's a lot in there. I was just thinking when you were saying about the seed that was buried and how you received that seed one day and what a difference it's made in your life. And I was just thinking that the power of the seed has the ability to change our lives, to transform our lives. And when you were talking, I was thinking, yes, one day I heard, amen, the word, amen, of God, and that seed was planted in my heart. And, I mean, just, you know, it changed me in every area of my life. I mean, I was just boohooing and didn't even understand why I was boohooing because the word had gotten planted. And even though I didn't have any control over my tears, my spirit was rejoicing and inside. Uh-huh. And I was like, "Oh, what's wrong? What's wrong?" I couldn't control my tears because my spirit was excited. But I knew the change had taken place, and from that day to this, I've been eternally changed. And I thank and I praise God for the power of the word, the power of that seed. Amen. It has the supernatural ability to change circumstances, to change mindsets, to change situations, and that's why the battle is against the seed. The enemy has always battled against the seed. Amen. And it's that same seed that the word says in Genesis would bruise the head of the enemy. It is the seed. He's against the seed because the seed has the ability to change, the ability to bring forth, the ability, amen, to change the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. The seed has supernatural power to transform our life. It don't matter how bad the situation looks. If you can get the seed of word of God's word in your life and in your heart and believe it with your faith, it has a supernatural ability to transform your life, your circumstances, your marriage, your family, your finances. Amen. And that's why the enemy doesn't want us to get the seed. He wants the seed to be altered so that we cannot bring forth the manifestation that the seed was designed to do, and that was to make God's people fruitful.
Amen. Let me share something that Pastor Pink says. She said, Pastor Taswell, she says, recognize what type of seed you are. Recognizing what type of seed you are makes the difference on the kind you sow and plant. One other thing, and I want to say this because I know she said this, I believe she wrote it on Facebook. I saw it, and I asked her to bring it back, and I can't remember exactly how it went. But she turned around and made mention of the fact she talked about the type of ground that you're sowing your seed upon. And, you know, and again, I want to make folks understand this is not about money. This is about time, talent, and treasure, all three, because we deal with all three on a constant, consistent basis. You have to check out the type of ground that you're sowing on, because if you're sowing on good ground, you should reap a harvest. But if you're sowing on shaky ground, rocky ground, stony ground, if you're sowing on ground that's crusty and ground that cannot produce, you know, basically where you put yourself at in this position and in this place is you planted in some places seed for no reason whatsoever. A lot of us in ministry, ministry are working in areas that God, number one, didn't send us to, neither did he call us to it, but we're going to work in it, and then we can't figure out why there's no harvest, why there is no production, why nothing comes forth. You got to stop and think, what kind of seed did you sow in prayer? Because sometimes we will sit there in prayer and we will begin to talk. We will begin to say things. We'll ask God for certain things, but then we'll turn around and put ourselves in a position where the very thing we've asked God for, now we have eradicated that which we've asked for. We cannot go both. And then there are those, let me say this, and I've got to ask this. I asked the question, what are you sowing? Our words do contain great power. They contain great ability to either open up or shut almost anything down that we are sowing when we sow by faith through Jesus Christ. And Jesus reminded us that whatsoever we bind here on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever we loose in heaven shall be loosed on the earth. And whether it's positive or negative, our words will either navigate us to God's destiny for us and the destiny that God has assigned to us, or push us towards unexpected demise and destruction because we fail to avoid loaning that small measure of faith to doubt and unbelief. We've loaned to doubt and unbelief that measure of faith that belongs on that good ground. The power of the seed, according to Proverbs 18 and 21, actually lies within your tongue. And whatever type of fruit, meaning your end result you may have, that you have a taste for, now becomes part of your life. Understand, beloved, your future is in the seeds you sow. So let me ask you again, what you sowing? What are you sowing? Some of us have talked ourselves out of blessing after blessings, and some of us have convinced ourselves that poverty is God's will for your life. And I'm going to start bringing this to a close because we usually try to do about an hour, but, you know, we'll go just a tad over the top here. But some of us, you know, we have to keep in mind that we feel like that we're, you know, we may not be in a proper place. And some of you, although you feel like you're in a proper place with God, at some point you may have compromised your position with God. Let me explain it for just a minute. Just because God allows you to do certain things doesn't necessarily mean that you're in the right place. It doesn't mean you're in the right position. Sometimes we deviate from God's plan and purpose for our lives of self-will and the desire to do whatever it is we want, and we start wandering aimlessly in the wilderness of life with no purpose, with no guidance, with no real direction. And for whatever reason, it seems like we have this insatiable desire to serenade spiritual suicide, and we make shipwreck of our faith, causing separation from the living God. And we, through our own mouth, have created a snare that has led us to the state of apostasy. Yes, there are some people who are walking in the state of apostasy, and they don't even realize they're in that state because of the compromised position that we actually settled for. And still, there are others who are allowing themselves to court sin and set up a date with death through apostasy. And as we're being driven further and further away from the ark of safety, and while we allow the darkness of our thinking, of the carnal mind that we have now ascertained because of our refusal to receive the undivided, uncompromised, unadulterated word of God and allow the Holy Spirit to minister to our spirit, we continue to convince ourselves that we're okay in the condition or in the state that we're in. We've convinced ourselves that since God, quote unquote, and I'm going to be doing this later, I see Dr. Herdman in here, thank you, sir, for coming in. Since we convinced ourselves that God knows our heart, as we would say, we live a double lifestyle. We think that that's okay to live that way. No, understand something, beloved. You've got to speak into existence that which you believe. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Lord of your life? If you believe that, then you must believe that you are crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, you live, but it is not you, but it is Christ who is living in you. And the life you now live in the flesh, you live by the faith of the Son of God who loved you and gave himself for you. You've convinced yourself that since God knows your heart, as you would say, you live that double lifestyle, you're living, you think it's okay. You're telling yourself that God understands and it's okay to be the way you are, even if Scripture declares it to be sinful, if Scripture declares it to be a weight. What is it to to everybody, so I'm not talking to everybody. But what is it for us who call ourselves Christians to think it's okay to take the portions of good and think that God has given us, and I'm talking about our gifts, our abilities, our skills, our qualities, our talents, and we either allow them to waste away in non-productive activities, or we sell them to the enemy for immediate material gain, which temporarily brings a sense of satisfaction. When are we going to allow ourselves to be moved out? When we allow ourselves to be moved out from under the ark of God's safety, we need to realize that we just allowed ourselves to enter into a place that I like to call the twilight zone. What is the twilight zone? It's a simple period of time in life between sunset and total darkness where the unknown lurks, and anything can usually happen in the twilight zone. The twilight zone is a place where there is no real safety, where there is no real love, where no one really cares about you. There is no real joy. There's no real peace. There's no real comfort. There's no real pity. There's no real mercy. There's no hope. You have placed yourself in a position where there is no protection or no refuge for your soul. And all of this came about because of the seeds that you have sown. Galatians 6, 7, and 8, as I bring this down to a close for today, simply says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Whoever sows to please their flesh will from the flesh reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit shall reap life eternal. So see your future. Your future is really marked by the seeds you sow. One last thing that I want to point out for today, and we're going to bring this down to a close. You are a warehouse of seed, and I've said this time and time again. You're a warehouse of seed, okay? God has made you to be that way. And whether you're so positive or negative, you're still a warehouse of seed. But I just want to make those of you who say they love the Lord, he heard their cry and pitied every groan, you now all that goes. You have to understand something. There are six things that the Lord hates, and one of them is even detestable to him. You'll find this in Proverbs chapter 6. He talks about there are six things the Lord hates, even seven that are detestable to him. Here he goes. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that rush to evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a person who stirs up conflict in the community. I bring this up to remind each of us that our responsibility is to walk in the fullness of our calling, imitating our Father in heaven. Lawlessness will shorten your life. You hear about homicides across the country and around the world, and you don't hear about it in too many other countries. The United States seems to be the leader in homicidal and suicidal efforts. I don't know why that is, but we have to understand that when we look through the word, God will hold us in contempt, all who sow seeds that lead to disharmony among the brethren. Now, you have a choice to make on this given day. You have to say to yourself now, what am I going to do? There's power in your seed. There is a power in the word that's in your mouth. You can bring people to know the Lord Jesus Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, or you can chase somebody away from ever giving their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. That choice belongs to you. But just keep this in mind. Everything you do in this life has a consequence. The question is, are you willing to pay the price? There is power in the seed that you sow. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And whosoever loves it shall eat the fruit thereof. My question to you again, what are you sowing? What are you sowing? Pastor Henderson, any words you want to throw in there? Anything else you want to add? And before you do, Pastor Henderson, is there anyone else that's on the line with us today that would like to have a word? I do not want you to miss out. Anyone? Okay. Go ahead, Pastor Henderson.
Yes, I was just thinking when you said
the love of which you sow, you know, you'll eat the fruit thereof. So what do you love? Yeah. Because if you love corn, then you're going to plant corn. If you, you know, in the natural, if you love green beans, you're going to plant green beans. So wherever your heart is, that's where your treasure is. So whatever seeds you're sowing also is an indicator of what's in your heart. So if you love righteousness, you're going to sow righteousness. If you love God's love and you are imitator of his love, you're going to sow that love. So what do you love? What do you love? Because what you love is what the seed that you are planting, because you want more of that seed in your life. And even though you may not recognize that, that seed is still producing itself, good or bad. So I just want to encourage each and every one, amen, to fall in love with the Lord and allow God's seed, amen, to manifest his power in our life, that we will produce after him, that we will be imitators of Christ, and that we, our lives will be fruitful in Jesus' name.
Amen, amen. Now, I know, Dr. Kimmy Robinson, I've not called on you a lot tonight because I know producing and trying to be part of a podcast is kind of difficult from time to time, but is there anything you want to say or anything you'd like to add? Okay.
Basically, there are consequences when you, you know, when you use your words inappropriately, and so that's why it says in Proverbs that a soft answer turns away wrath. So it's very important on how you say what you say to people, and you never know who's watching you. So absolutely.
Right. And that's something we got to be aware of. We don't know who's watching us, who's paying attention to us. I know there are different ones that popped on social media and they pop right back off. And, you know, it's not whether or not the what we're talking about interests them, because I do it myself. Sometimes I cruise the internet and I see different things, but I don't stay with everything. You know, some things I'll stay for a minute or two and I just move on. And I don't have a problem with that, because this goes on. Social media is just not, too many of us are putting too much emphasis in social media. Understand something. Those of you who are watching us by way of social media, those who are listening by radio, we thank you for listening, whether you're with Spreaker, whether you're with Spotify, whether you're with iHeart, whether you're with, what's the other one? I can see it in my mind. I got ready to say iTunes. Tune in. That's what I was getting ready to say. Wherever you are, we bless and thank God that you're taking the time to listen. But this becomes important. There is power in the seed that it comes from your spirit. Anytime you open your mouth, the scripture in Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. We talked about that, but there's another passage of scripture we're going to tackle next week out of Ecclesiastes chapter 11. And let me say this, Pastor Tazewell said, bad soil can cause diseases, and she is so right. We didn't talk about the soil too much that you sow in, that you're sowing in. What kind of ground are you sowing in? If the ground is bad, if the ground is rocky, if the ground is full of insects, the seed has the potential to be eaten up, which means there can be no manifestation as a result of where you're sowing it at. We need you to understand that God is looking for you to produce. You know, when he turned around and said, let us make man after our image and our likeness, he turned around, he's talking about your spirit, man. I mean, you know, a lot of us think God means our physical being. Your physical presence, your physical being is not what God's talking about. Your spiritual being is what God's talking about. That's the person of faith. That's the person that has the ability to produce. And whether it's positive or negative, it's going to come up one way or another. We have to be aware of that. We bless God for each and every one of you joining us tonight, and I do want you to take this into consideration. We have to learn to release our words with our faith, with no intention of drawing back on what we say. Let me say that again. We must learn to release our words with our faith, with no intention of drawing back on what we say. God gives us opportunity and chance. And see, the one thing, I said this the other day, somebody challenged me on it, but you can go look it up if you want. The one thing God is not going to do is violate your will. Let me say it again. The one thing God is not going to do is violate your will. He gives you the power of choice. God gives you the ability to make a decision for your life. But as I said earlier, every decision has a consequence. So I'm just here to encourage somebody's heart to let them know that, you know, your future is in the seeds that you sow. There is power in the seed. You have to recognize that. If you are a born-again, spirit-filled believer, you have to understand that your future is in the seeds that you sow. What kind of seeds? How do you see yourself? I'm going to tell you what I say about me most often. I tell you, and I'm going to say it here, I am a millionaire. Yeah, you'll sit there and say, well, where's all your money? See, that's the problem. You're stuck in the money aspects. I'm a millionaire. Spiritually, I prosper. Mentally, I prosper. Emotionally, physically, and financially, I prosper. I speak that word over myself each and every day. I say it every day simply because of the fact that I believe with all my heart. And if God decides that he wants me to have the finances, how do you know what I have? You don't know what I have. You don't know what my 401k looks like. You don't have any idea what kind of IRAs I have, what kind of investments, what kind of portfolio stock. You don't know any of that. But the truth of the matter is you don't need to know. I'm speaking as the oracles of God according to the word of God. I'm a millionaire. My father owns cattle on 1,000 hills, and whatever I need, he supplies. So if God sees that I need $1 million, I will have $1 million, okay? And how do you know I don't already have $1 million? You're never going to know, and I'm never going to tell. You have to watch my smoke to know where I'm going. We thank God for each and every one of you coming in and being part of us. Remember the base principles we shared with you. Everything in the kingdom of God is based on a seed and is produced from a seed. Everything. You've got to learn to speak faith and lose fear. Do not make a vow to the Lord saying you're going to do something and you turn around and you do not do it. All you have to do is just look to the Lord and let him know what your request is. I like what the writer in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says. It says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Make your request known unto God. And the peace of God. Wow. And the peace of God. I'm thinking about that while I'm talking about it. And the peace of God shall keep your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. I want to encourage you as I go on and finish reading that or actually just reciting it. It turns around and says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are lovely, and whatsoever good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Remember, the power of the seed is in your mouth. What kind of seed are you sowing? I'm Bishop Ernest E. Richard, Jr. This is Open Mic with the Bishop. Sister Kimmy Kim, please get that track ready to take us out of here. We love you. We appreciate you. We want to say this to you. We are looking to do a fundraiser throughout the entire course of this year, and even from this show. If you so desire to sow into this ministry, we want you to just go to Cash App, Cash App, the Pastor's Corner is what it is. I'm sorry. I had to think about it. I got so many different Cash Apps in my mind. Cash App, Pastor's Corner. We want somewhere down around August or September to be able to sow into Elation's Honors because we do have an annual banquet, and we want to help to defray the cost of that banquet. But I want to do collections in bulk. I don't want to do bits and pieces here. September 1st or somewhere between September 1st and September 5th, we're going to send whatever has been collected over to the Elation's Honors team so that we can begin to make preparation. And I'm telling you way ahead of time, in November, the third weekend in November, it is an awesome time. You need to come down. Some very prominent, prestigious people are there, some people who just love being with us. We want you to come and be part of us. So if you want to sow into this ministry, I think Sister Nina Taylor is going to give you more information on where you can sow. So please listen carefully. Dr. Kimmy Robinson, if you will, please.
Yeah.
You've been listening to Open Mic with Bishop Ernest E. Richard and Company. If this podcast has been a blessing to you, then please consider sowing into this ministry. A $20 gift or more would be appreciated. You can do so through Cash App. Just use $PowerToStand or on PayPal, Pritchard719@gmail.com. On behalf of Bishop Richard and the Open Mic panel, I'm Nina Taylor saying have a blessed week. We'll see you soon.